morning. How is everybody? Good. It's good to see you. We weren't here last week. Thanks for letting us get away. We like to travel to exotic places like Omaha, Nebraska. Really fancy places. If you have your Bibles, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And I got to tell you, it's a debate whether we're in verse 13 or verse 14. I realized today that some Bibles have 13 verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and some have 14. And so I don't know why that is. I didn't notice it until this morning. And so maybe I'll find out later and tell you if you care. But anyway, we're in some verse in 2 Corinthians, verse 13. If you find the book of Galatians, you'll find it just one page to the left. Now, we just finished a pretty intense sermon series. We called it Reset, about Jesus. It was all about Jesus. And I jokingly referred to it with staff as Jesus 101. By the end of it, we all agreed, or at least I hope we all agreed, to commit ourselves to serve Jesus and to follow him. And so there's a riddle that I probably told you this before, but I'll tell it again anyway. There are three frogs on a lily pad, and one of them decides to jump in the water. How many frogs are left on the lily pad? No answers? There's still three. Just because you decide to jump in and jumping in, those are totally different things. And so you and I are moral agents. We're agents of free will. God has given us free will to make decisions. And we can decide as in moral agency to jump off or to walk with Jesus. But there's a spiritual dimension of following him where we need help. Where we must actually jump off the lily pad, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And so this sermon series is about the Holy Spirit. This is Holy Spirit 101. We did Jesus 101, Holy Spirit 101. The title of the series is called Parakletos, and I will talk about that here in a bit. But let's read our passage for this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse something. Toward the end of it, so this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He had a great relationship with them. It was up and down. Sometimes they act like spoiled brats and he let them have it. Other times they were fantastic and did everything he asked them. And so they've been through a lot together. And so this is his second letter to them. Then he's closing it. At the end, he says, listen, in verse 11, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Become mature. We want you to be mature. I want you to be mature and of the same mind. Verse 12, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. CDC might have something to say about that these days. I don't know. To all the saints, send you their greeting. And then this is how he ends. This is his prayer for them, his closing prayer for the church in Corinth. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Okay, so I love that little verse because it's kind of like a snapshot of the spiritual growth and the spiritual development that God desires for each of us as Christians. And there are three distinct parts, and you can see them very easily here. The first is the grace of the Lord Jesus. He says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. And each one of us as Christians began right there. That's where we started. Our spiritual journey began at the grace of the Lord Jesus. Without Jesus' grace and his sacrifice for our sins, we'd still be alienated from God. We'd still be dead in our trespasses and sins. That's why Paul told the Ephesians, you have been saved by grace. You did not earn this. Don't ever think you earned it. It was Jesus' grace that saved you. And so he says, I pray that the grace of the Lord be with you all. He says, I pray that the love of God be with you all. Once our lives are touched by this grace, and we decide to follow Jesus, we are catapulted into this second phase of spiritual growth, and that is knowing God's love. It's not that like you become a Christian and now God loves you more. It's not that at all. It's at this moment we begin to realize, we begin to get revelation of what God has done for us and how much he loves us. We begin to see the things he does for us, the big things, the little things, the loving activity in our lives. He removes our sin. He heals our hurts. He meets our needs. And we go through life knowing the love of God. Maybe before we weren't that sure, but the more we walk with God, the more we begin to know the love of God. And so then the question then becomes for us as Christians, if you've been there for a while, walking in this relationship with God, the question then becomes, how do we maintain this? How do we keep it up? We've got the appreciation for Jesus' grace. We've got this the feelings of love. How do we keep those? And so I have discovered in my own life, and maybe you have as well, a lot of times what we'll try to do is we will try to reproduce it. So we'll go to a conference. We will go to a worship conference. We'll go to an exciting event. We'll read the books that we're told we need to read. We'll listen to the podcast or the sermons we're told we need to listen to. And trying to get back to that place. Sometimes we just feel like, man, if I could just do more, then I would feel more. But those aren't the answers. The answers are found in the next step. And that's what Paul talks about here. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's the answer. This is the phase where we come to know the power, new power, new strength, new spiritual gifts and abilities, new discernment, even a new maturity. That's what we're after, right? Verse 11, he says, become mature. And so we're after maturity. We want every one of us in this room want to walk in God's power. We want to know God's mind. We want to pray effectively. We want to receive direction. We want to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. And so that's why Paul prays this Holy Spirit fellowship be with you all, because every one of us need that. Now, if that's the cry of your heart, if the cry of your heart is there must be more to this Christian life than what I'm experiencing, you're probably right. We need to know the Holy Spirit of God and his ministry to us. And so look back at that verse and we'll dig into that a little bit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So that word, the word fellowship is koinonia, and you may have heard of it before. It's a really ancient word. It predates the Old Testament. Typically, it's translated as fellowship, but essentially it carries different levels or distinct meanings of the word. It means intimacy, it means partnership, and it means responsibility. So I want to look at all of those so we can see exactly what Paul's praying. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, first of all, it means intimacy. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, the churches in Galatia. He says, when James, Cephas, Peter, and John, those recognized as pillars, the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, in the recognized pillars, they acknowledged the grace that had been given to me, and they gave me the right hand of fellowship to me and Barnabas. So, that word there, that is the word koinonia, fellowship. They gave him the right hand of fellowship. So the apostles, Peter, James, and John, they'd been together for a long time, right? They spent years together, and now Jesus left. They started the church together. They've been through a lot of difficult times together. And all of a sudden, this upstart named Paul comes on the scene. And he had been persecuting the church. And everyone in the church was scared to death of him. But then all of a sudden, Paul says, no, I'm good now. I've been converted. I'm a true believer. And so they were wary, as you would expect, and they should be. So they sat back and they watched him. But when they recognized that he was, in fact, truly converted, when they recognized he was, in fact, God's hand was on his ministry and he was called to the Gentiles, they opened up, they recognized that he'd been converted, God's hand was on him, and they invited him into their intimate circle of friendship and trust. They gave him the right hand of fellowship. They welcomed him in. So it's a picture of intimacy. When they're welcoming him, that's not even easy to say, welcoming him into their group. Paul's praying in the same way for you and me when he says the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He's praying the intimacy of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He's praying that you and I would have an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God. The second thing koinonia means is partnership. Koinonia describes a partnership. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus says to his disciples, they hadn't caught any fish. He says, why don't you throw the net on the other side of the boat? And so they do, and there's a miraculous catch of fish. The boat's about to sink because there's so many fish. And then in verse 7 we read, so they signaled to their partners, it's that word koinonia or a form of it. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they both began to sink. Okay, so that's that word, partners is that word form of koinonia. And so there's no secret as to what partner means. We all know what a partner is. A partner is someone that works on the same team, someone that does the same job for the same cause. Now, in Peter's case, these were fellow fishermen. So he called the other boat over and said, I need help. And they came over and his partners helped him. And so that idea of partnership is one of the things that Paul's praying for us when we have koinonia with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He's praying that the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Okay, so Paul is desiring that Christians know the grace of the Lord Jesus, know the love of God, but also have an intimate partnership with the Spirit of God, fellowship with the Spirit of God. And then the third one is responsibility. Koinonia and also describe responsibility. When Paul wrote to the Philippian church to thank them for being generous to him, he said this in verse 14. He said, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. You shared in my troubles. And that word share is, again, the form of that word koinonia. So here's Paul's life. He's on a whirlwind ministry tour. He's visiting churches. He's planting churches. He's going to new towns, preaching in the synagogue. And when they don't receive him, he goes and preaches to the Gentiles. He faces challenges along the way. People are after him. People don't like him. But his side hustle, which is, that's a new COVID-19 term, I think. One of the things we came up with, the side hustle. Anyway, he had a job. A side job, and we actually call it tent making, because that's what he was. He was a tent maker, and so he would make these tents. He was a leather worker. He would make these tents to pay his bills so that he could be free to go out and to preach the gospel. Well, that was all fine until he got arrested. And so now he's under house arrest, and he has to pay his own expenses, but he can't work. And the government's not sending any more stimulus bill checks at this point. And so arrives one day a package for him, and he opens it up, and it's the money he needs to cover his expenses. Love the Philippian church. And so Paul writes him back and thanks him for their generosity. Other churches failed to support him, but the Philippian church stepped up to the plate, and they didn't just say, hey, Paul, we heard about the fact that you're in prison, and we'll be praying for you. They stepped up and they took an offering and they took responsibility and they sent him those finances. And so that's that word koinonia. Koinonia, they shared the responsibility. And so there's another sense in which Paul is saying to us, praying for us, that the responsibility of the Holy Spirit be with you. An intimate partnership where you and me and the Spirit of God take responsibility for the gospel being shared in this planet. That's what Paul's praying. That's what we're after. That's the maturity that comes from fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14 before we finish this morning. I wanted to explain a little bit of why I chose that strange word for the title of this sermon series. The word is parakletos. Literally, it means, it's two Greek words together, and it means called alongside. Being called, someone that is called alongside. Paraclete. And Jesus uses that title to describe the Holy Spirit in several passages in John, but we're going to talk about just the first one of those this morning. So it's in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. So this is at the Last Supper. Jesus is kind of giving last minute instructions to the disciples. He's explaining to them he's got to go away and they can't come with him. He'll go prepare a place for them. And you know this, all of that. And then in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask of the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you." Friends, that is the Holy Spirit. Meet the Holy Spirit. And I want to just make sure you're aware that his preferred pronouns are he, him, and his. We a lot of times refer to the Holy Spirit as it, but he is a third member of the Trinity. And, we just read it. You know him, he is the Spirit of truth, the world is unable to receive him, etc., etc. Now, my version translates this as counselor. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Older versions use the word comforter. I will send you another comforter. They kind of changed that over the years because it's just this picture of grandma's blanket wrapping you up, and that's not exactly what we're after there. But this counselor or comforter, actually, the paraclete word has different shades of meaning. And if you ever read the Amplified version, I love, they'll give you all of them, okay? And so here's what the Amplified says. Jesus said, "I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever." Helps you understand, a bit awkward. If you ever talk to that person and talks like that, that's going to be an awkward, long conversation. Just pick one, and let's move on. But the word may sound familiar to you if you went through this last sermon series with us on Jesus, because the same word paraclete is used to describe Jesus. Okay, so 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, paraclete, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." And so when we talked about that passage at the time, it's the image of a courtroom and the enemy who is making accusation against the saints and Jesus, who is our advocate, who is our defense attorney. And he's making a case for us. He's our advocate. And so Jesus spent 3 years, 33 years, but 3 years on the earth with these disciples, being their advocate, being their helper, being their counselor, being their comforter, being their strengthener. Can you imagine being with Jesus for 3 years? You ever have an issue? You need some wisdom? You just go ask Jesus. You know, I laugh. It used to be okay when you were a kid to answer a question and say, "I don't know." Well, you can't do that anymore, not with your phones and Google. And so now you have to Google everything. And you could just ask Alexa, and she could tell you. And so imagine Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, what is the answer to whatever question?" And he's with them, their advocate. He's their counselor. He's a comforter. He's a strengthener. And now he says, "Listen, I'll be leaving you soon. You'll be on your own. Oh, and by the way, I've given you a task. I'm going to call it the Great Commission. And I took the gospel to Israel. I want you to take it to the rest of the world. You got this, okay? And by the way, I can't be with you. I can't be your advocate, counselor, comforter, and strengthener." How in the world are they going to do this? But Jesus promises them another counselor, another comforter, another strengthener. And there's two different words in the Greek for another. There's a allos, means another of the same kind, and then there's heteros, it means another of a different kind. Jesus says, I'm going to send you an allos paraclete, the same as me. I'm going to send you someone just like me. And he says in verse 18, and I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not leaving you empty-handed. And so I will send someone, Father will send someone just like me. He will be your advocate. He will be your counsel. He'll be your helper. He'll be your strengthener. He'll be your comforter. And the most exciting part, he says, Jesus says, is this comforter would not only remain with the disciples, but would live in them. You do know him because he remains with you and he will be in you. That means at no point in the future would these disciples ever be alone or ever be separated from God. They would have an advocate, counselor, comforter, strengthener, helper with them at all times. At all times. And that promise now is transferred to you and to me. So if you went to the trouble to come here this morning with this threat of maybe getting rained on, if you went to the trouble of joining us online this morning, it probably means that you have a desire to know a deeper place in God. I mean, there's a reason you're here. You probably want to go deeper with the Lord. We know every one of us knows Christians who love God, but they don't really know the joy that attends this deepest intimacy. And so, like I said before, we tend to take matters into our own hands. We do what is right. We go to church. We give in the offering plate. We try to check off the spiritual boxes. And then we wonder why we still feel powerless, still feel a bit spiritually empty. And we're embarrassed by it, so we don't talk about it. Because we look around at church and we think, well, I'm the only one that feels this way. Everyone else has their stuff in line. All their ducks are in a row. Looks like I'm the only one that feels like a fish out of water. And so we just keep on trucking along thinking, well, maybe one day it'll all work itself out. And one day I'll figure it out. And we'll know it'll make sense to me then. That is why every one of us needs fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He wants to lead us to a new place in God. He wants to lead us to a place that God has been wanting us to find for a long time and pushing us toward. It's the place that we read about when we read the book of Acts. And you see those early Christians and you think, man, what do they know that we don't know? How did they walk in power? How were they so bold? How were they joyful in the midst of persecution? How were their prayers answered like that? It's not what they knew. It's who they knew. They were walking in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that's why they could have joy even in persecution. That's why they had the courage to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so my prayer for us as we begin this sermon series is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. The intimacy of the Holy Spirit be with you. The partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you. The responsibility of the Holy Spirit be with you. And I'm so thankful for the grace of the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful for the love of God. I mean, were it not for grace, I'd be out on my own. Were it not for God's love, Jesus would have never hung on that cross for my sins. I'd be dead in my trespasses and sins. But I think now God is calling us to a third step, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We mentioned a couple weeks ago, dissatisfaction lies at the heart of our noblest achievements. And so if your heart is no longer satisfied, and if you seek more in your Christian walk, that, I believe, is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning, calling you further, calling you to a deeper place, calling you to a place of intimacy and partnership and responsibility. And the Spirit of God wants to walk us through all the way. How many of you will jump off the lily pad with me? Let's pray. God, thank you that in our moment of need, you didn't leave us. You didn't leave us as orphans. When we needed an advocate, when we needed a counselor, when we needed a helper, Lord, you sent your Spirit. And so, Lord, we confess that we do not know him like we should. We want to know him intimately. We want to know what a partnership with him looks like. We want to know what sharing responsibility with the Spirit of God looks like in our church and in our nation. So I'm asking you, God, as we begin this study together, that you would show us, that you'd open your word to us, you would reveal to us who the Holy Spirit is and how to have fellowship with him. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Give us revelation this week as we go throughout the week, Lord, that you would show us and reveal to us truths about your Spirit. God, we love you, and we give you praise and glory. Lord, we pray for these kids that will be here tomorrow night for Vacation Bible School. And we ask, Lord, that you would, we would find good soil, that the seeds planted this week would take root and grow a hundredfold. Lord, that you'd protect this campus, watch over everyone, keep us all safe. Lord, that it would be full of joy and excitement, and the love of Jesus would be evident throughout. And thank you for all the teachers and workers that have been preparing and working so long. Bless them, Lord, for their hard work, we pray. Now go with us from this place, Lord. Holy Spirit, lead us. We want to have fellowship with you this week. Teach us what that looks like, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have prayer ministry team up front. If we can pray with you, please give us an opportunity to do that. We would love to join our faith with yours. If you're online, you can call us at 940-222-2627. We have someone to answer that phone for you, and we'll pray with you. Thank you for being here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Y'all have a great week.